Well, I want to start off just giving thanks. Thanks to Virginia Harrison, Barb Whitney, my lovely wife, Karen Bringelson, our interim minister, Reverend Marlene Walker, and my friend Z for helping me prepare this service. It truly does take a community for me to be up here. As we can see from your genderbread person on the front of your order of service and and the readings that Virginia did today, that this topic of gender identity and expression is more complicated than what many of us have grown up with. So my name is Bev Boer. My pronouns are she, her, hers. My gender identity is female. My sexual orientation is lesbian. And my gender expression is nonconforming. So I don't know if any of you have been down the hall lately, but we've got something going on there, a little remodeling across from the kitchen. We've got an all-gender bathroom that's been remodeled, and still the last finishing touches are being put on. This is thanks to all the wonderful volunteers we have here at James Reeb, and I invite you to check it out. The door is just standing there, but the sign is super cool. And it makes me very proud of our community here, because we are walking the talk. And in addition to, you know, talking about some of the things we've accomplished here, I also want to spend some time talking about my personal journey around gender identity and gender expression, and how we might increase our capacity as a community to be more welcoming and inclusive of people who are transgender. I've had a fair amount of discomfort around gender issues my entire life. I didn't grow up with any of these terms and concepts that we have now. I still struggle sometimes to, you know, say the right thing, to apply them correctly. And the terminology is evolving rapidly. And I know that I sometimes unintentionally reinforce the gender binary. Because of that, it's important for me to have people I could talk to about these issues. I'm grateful. I'm also grateful for the Proud Theater troupe that rehearses here often, because they have sparked many conversations for me with family and friends and members of James Reeb on the topic of gender. A few years ago, in a racial justice workshop done by Groundwork, I learned the concept of leaning into discomfort. I have found this a very useful practice. In addition to using it to help me unravel the complexities of racism that we all have internalized on some level, I've been using it to unravel the sources of my discomfort with gender issues too. The result for me of leaning into my discomfort has been more comfort. I have become more clear about my own gender identity and expression. So what does that mean, to lean into discomfort? Well, a few months ago, the Unitarian Universalist Association had their General Assembly in Providence, Rhode Island. Sister Simone Campbell, who is known for her Nun on the Bus tour, gave a distinguished talk called the Ware Lecture. In her talk, she invited us to walk towards trouble. She says that when we open ourselves to trouble, we open ourselves to doubt and risk. We no longer have certitude that we understand how things are, and we no longer have control of the situation. She goes on to say that walking towards trouble means we are willing to open ourselves to the surprise. Now, I love this idea of opening ourselves to the surprise. When we walk towards trouble or lean into our discomfort with our hearts open, we may actually learn something. We may start building a bridge to understanding between ourselves and others. And we may even talk to someone we never thought we would talk to. So I want to invite all of you just to take a few moments here very briefly, just to see if you can imagine what happens in your body when you think about feeling discomfort or something that somebody says has made you feel uncomfortable. Maybe nothing that has been said here today has made you feel uncomfortable, but just try to imagine. Are there any signs that you get in your body when you feel uncomfortable? Is there, you know, like a part of your body where you feel discomfort? Can you describe it? I know for me, these body signals are really important in identifying my discomfort. Sometimes I'll notice my belly tighten, or maybe my jaw will tighten a little bit. Sometimes I can find words and acknowledge that I'm feeling uncomfortable. Occasionally I realize I don't fully understand where someone is coming from, so I might ask them some questions to clarify what they are saying. And almost always I will reflect on it later. This type of a reflection is a big part of my personal spiritual practice. So I'm going to shift gears a little bit and go back to my, talk a little bit more about my personal history with gender expression and gender identity. I want to say that I'm not an expert on any of this. I can only imagine what it must be like to be a male-identified child or a grown-up who wants to wear a dress. I can only imagine what it must be like to not have your body be the body of the gender that you identify with. When I was a young child, people called me a tomboy, or my grandpa called me a live wire. When I was told I had to wear a dress to school every day, like I told the kids, I was like Jacob. It was hard to breathe. I've had bank tellers refuse to cash my check because my check was made out to a woman, which according to them, I clearly was not. And I will never forget the embarrassment I felt in the women's bathroom at a fast food restaurant on a road trip with my volleyball team in college. I was in the bathroom. I could hear several teenage girls laughing and talking outside the bathroom about the boy who was in the women's bathroom. And again, like Jacob, it was hard to breathe. I know when I first started hearing the term transgender, it made me feel uncomfortable. I wasn't quite sure what it meant. Similar to Barb's experience, I thought that maybe I might be transgender, because I was certainly not a cisgender person. I was even more uncomfortable when people I knew started talking about transitioning, changing their names and pronouns, taking hormones, having surgery. I knew that I didn't want to transition, and I thought they were like me. I had to lean into that discomfort. I had to ask myself, why would that make me uncomfortable? I did not understand why I could not just embrace and accept what others were choosing for themselves. And I uncovered my own internalized gender phobia, transphobia. So the more I let myself walk towards trouble, lean into discomfort, meaning reading books, having conversations about gender, and reflect on all that, I found my surprise. The reason that the anti-oppression work that I do is so connected with my spiritual practice is this work often makes me feel uncomfortable. And I believe that this discomfort comes from that part of me, perhaps my soul, that longs to do the right thing, that longs for a better world. So in the spirit of walking towards trouble together, I have a list of simply, these are suggestions, and these come from the Unitarian Universalist Association website of how congregations can be more welcoming and inclusive of transgender people in our congregations. So number one is, try avoid making assumptions about gender identity or sexual orientation. Recognize that transgender is not a sexual orientation, and educate yourself and others on the distinctions between sexual orientation and gender identity and expression. Now, I can give you my own example, and this is a little bit not the usual example, but in my song that I wrote, when I say the words, I'm not a sir, I'm a dyke, I'm a lesbian. You all got me all wrong. Well, I'm basically saying that being a lesbian explained why I was mistaken for a man. And that is mixing gender expression with sexual orientation. So from my research, and I do the same kind of research Barb Whitney does. There are many lesbians who do not get mistaken for a man. So maybe I could change that line in the song to, I'm not a sir, I'm a gender non-conforming person. And you all got me all wrong. Okay, well, that was just number one here. Number two. The rest of these aren't so long. Respect a person's identity and self-label, and respect a person's chosen name and pronouns. Practice, and I'm challenging you a little bit, to offer your own pronouns when you meet new people. And this is challenging me, too. For example, my name is Bev. My pronouns are she, her, hers. Number three, use terms that encompass all genders rather than only two whenever you can. Children instead of boys and girls. People instead of women and men. Siblings instead of sisters and brothers. It's more inclusive. And review your congregation's policies and procedures. For example, are gender-exclusive groups inclusive of trans men and women? Do people with non-binary identities have a way to be involved? If you use forms that ask for gender, is that information necessary? If it is, include the options transgender and other, and allow people to check more than one box. Talk to children about gender diversity. Provide age-appropriate education around understanding one's gender identity and gender expression, and how gender roles and norms play out in our society. Designate all gender bathrooms, which we are soon to have one. Label all bathrooms in a welcoming way. Make sure your signs throughout your space point the way to the bathroom options. Do not assume that a trans person is all-knowing or wants to speak about trans issues. Do not assume a trans person can speak only about their trans identity, nor that it is or is not an issue at all. Learn more about transgender identity, like we're doing today, and I would recommend starting with the resources on the UUA website. Do continuing education for your congregation, specifically on transgender issues and gender diversity, which is what we're doing today, and perhaps we may want to go through the Welcoming Congregation program again, as our interim minister, Marlene Walker, has suggested. And the last one, learn about local and federal laws and how to change them if they are non-inclusive. Non-discrimination policies around employment, housing, credit, public accommodations, name changes, and gender marker changes. Follow the leadership of local and or federal transgender organizations. Big list. So, in conclusion, let us be a community that leans into our discomfort, that walks towards trouble together, with our hearts open to the surprise. May it be so.